This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Talk Star Wars, the official podcast of talkstarwars.co.uk. I'm Mark.
I'm the fanboy.
And I'm Jeremy.
We've got a special episode this week because we are going to interview Gloria Garcia, the Jakku defender from Star Wars The Force Awakens. Somebody actually from Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Who'd have thought it? I will survive as long as I
know. No, other Gloria.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, how many times? we're going to get through a couple of bits of news and then we're going to interview Gloria. And when we come back, Steve's going to give us his revised thoughts on The Force Awakens.
Maybe.
How you doing, guys? You all right?
Yeah, fine, mate. We had a nice good IMAX session last night, didn't we?
We had a good night last night, didn't we?
Yeah, brilliant again. Fifth time for me.
I'm going to put a counter on the site, I think, so we can keep track of how many times we've seen it. Because I need to try and catch up.
What, collectively?
No, separately. So it'd be like a leaderboard. Steve, you're going to be you're going to be, what, on two? I'm on three. And you Jeremy's on, like, I don't know. I'll have to put triple numbers in.
I'm on five at the moment. I'm on five. I've got one more booked in as little Freddie for his birthday. I offered him a party. I offered him to have his friends round. I said, you can go anywhere, do anything you want, because your sister had a party. You can do, what do you want to do? You can do anything you want to do. And he said, Daddy, can I go and watch Star Wars in 3D? I'm like, yes. Yeah, I will have fun and I'll save £200.
And you went, oh, damn, not again, Freddy.
That'll be number six. And that will be, officially, the most I've ever seen a film at the cinema.
No.
Because currently,
Jedi about 20 times.
No, we saw it five times.
We saw Jedi five times. We used to sneak out and back in again.
Yeah. But it was only on twice a day. We watched Ghostbusters five times and we watched Temple of Doom five times. So this will officially be the most watched film at the cinema of me. Avatar I only saw once because it was all right. But this will be six times. I'll watch it.
It was a long sit, Avatar. This is easy.
Num-bum.
Fly, doesn't it?
It does fly by. I had a blast last night. Every time I see it, it gets better and better.
And even me, who's seen it more than most, every time I watch it, I've got a smile on my face.
Yeah.
I still laugh at there's so many funny bits. And I see something new every time, and a new little nod. I noticed things last night that I hadn't noticed before. And I think it just keeps going on and on and on. And it's the gift that keeps on giving.
We found our first Star Wars double entendre last night, didn't we? The first Force Awakens one.
Yeah, well, we've just been through a quite exhaustive list of double entendres from the original trilogy, haven't we?
I absolutely have
to put on the website at some point.
Can we actually say them? Like a couple of the not-so-rude ones?
This is a family show.
Yeah. Can I say it's not bad.
What's your... go on in. Have one.
Will somebody help me with this big hairy thing? Or something. It was Finn, wasn't it? With this big hairy thing. Oh, but they're not as good as the other ones. You'll have to put some on there.
I'll put them on the site.
Of euphemisms in the other films is incredible.
It's all euphemisms. Like Jeremy said, it's Carry On Star Wars.
We did a Carry On Star Wars day, didn't we?
That was insane.
Get in there, you big hairy oaf. I don't care what you smell.
We had a review on iTunes this week, which we have to give a shout out to Snow Mossop for leaving us. They put, top show, keep up the good work. And Jeremy, you reliably informed me that it's a 5-star review.
Indeed.
So thank you for doing that. That means the world to us and it keeps us up there in new and noteworthy. So if you're listening to the show and you haven't reviewed it, go and do it now. And Snow Mossop, please tell your friends that they all need to leave reviews for us.
I think that's a Star Wars animal waiting to happen, a snow mossop.
A snow mossop, yeah.
Definitely. It's up there with the big roly things, what they called?
Rathtars.
Rathtars. Oh no, Rathtar is in Galaxy Quest. What is it?
No, it was Rathtars, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's from Galaxy Quest. They stole it.
Okay, so yeah, thank you for leaving the review. This is a Star Wars podcast by Star Wars fans for Star Wars fans, and the fact that you took the time to do that means the world to us. So thanks, Snow Mossop.
Thank you very much.
Right, we had an email from Rob this week, and we know how much everyone waits for Rob's emails and questions, but because we got the interview with Gloria, we're probably going to give it a miss this week. But Rob, we'll stick a pin in it, and we'll come back to it on the
next
show.
It's only because it's got so much good stuff in it, we didn't want to just flesh out a couple of bits from it. We want to dedicate a good portion to it.
Oh, God, it is Carry On. And now it's Carry On Talk Star Wars.
So thank you, Rob. It is. I'm reading through it now. No, we can't just pick a couple of bits out of that. It needs good.
We'll spend some time on it.
That's a proper good portion that we need to address.
Right, let's get into a few bits of Star Wars news before we sit down with Gloria. There is a crazy rumor doing the rounds that relates to who Snoke is. Now, obviously, we hear it. Talk Star Wars Harbour, the Snoke is Plagueis theory. Some people think that Snoke might be Governor Tarkin from Star Wars A New Hope. Do we think there's anything to this?
No.
I think he's a new character now after seeing it again last night. I was giving it a good once over, and he seems very frail from the neck down. He's very gaunt. So he obviously is a very old character. But I'm not sure if he's human or not. Should we start there? Is he human?
No, he's not humanoid.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's human.
Humanoid?
No, humanoid. And I think Neil Scanlon, who's from the Creature Workshop, that they design all those aliens in Maz's castle, they all came from this gent. He's extremely talented. And he actually spoke to Anthony Bresnikan at EW and made a point in saying that Snoke needed to be done in CGI because the character was extremely devoid. 7 feet tall and he's extremely thin, and he's got this idiosyncratic cranial structure, which now obviously we know are these huge wounds. None of that makes me think of Tarkin.
No. And also, that's answered a massive question we had about 3 weeks ago, isn't it? About whether he's the size he is or in the projection, or if he's smaller. Thank you. That's just answered that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is only 7 feet tall. Is he?
We also know he's not Tarkin because he'd have fluffy slippers on.
Yeah, but we didn't see that low down on the. We didn't see his feet, did we, in the hologram? So he might be wearing fluffy slippers.
He may have fluffy slippers.
If zip
in
up
the next
middle.
One we see fluffy zippers,
it's Tarkin.
It's Tarkin, yeah.
Okay.
We'll give you that.
We'll wait until MBA.
We'll
wait until the deleted scenes to see if there's a scene of him shuffling around in fluffy slippers.
Maybe one of the ones you put both feet in and zip up.
Yeah, but then he'll get up and trip over.
You never get up.
You don't
up.
See him get up, though, do you?
Is he a Sith?
Well, no. We don't know he's got any power at all, do we, at the moment?
Well,
yeah, he must do, because he's going to complete Kylo Ren's training.
Exactly.
He's not got an old handbook, has he?
Yeah, but
manual.
He could be the Star Wars equivalent of Reed. Like, you know, the
Who's
people
Reed?
Who get you a job.
Do you think? What you think?
Office.
He's gonna train Kylo Ren to fill out an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, he's office angels in space.
Or is he gonna teach Kylo Ren to lift with his legs and not with his back?
There's a manual handling trainer now.
I definitely think that he is a Force user, and it wouldn't surprise me if he turns out to be a Sith. And it's not just because I'm invested in the Snoke is Plagueis.
One thing I noticed last night, Mark, which I didn't mention on the way back, which I found very interesting, and you might be able to fill in the blanks here, but didn't somebody in the film mention, you know, it used to be Sith, then it was the Empire?
Yes, it's Maz.
Yeah, it's Maz, yeah.
So are we to assume that the Sith are either what they used to be called and the names changed, or they're no more?
Well, I think the whole point of the original trilogy was extinguishing the Sith, wasn't it?
But the thing about the Sith is that there's always two, and the Knights of Ren is plural, so there's more than two.
Yeah, there's 7 Knights of Ren, I think. Well, by the end of The Force Awakens, or certainly by the end of Rey's vision, there's 7 Knights of Ren, but I do think that he took one out in there.
They're Force Dwarves.
Yeah.
I think Kylo's grumpy.
Yeah. And
equally, I think Kylo put paid your idea that the Knights of Ren were a clone army of Force-sensitive people, because he said maybe we should get a clone army.
Yes, I know that.
If you had a clone army, you wouldn't say that.
No.
Well, so I'm sorry about that speech. It was fun while it lasted.
We like putting things out there and being proved wrong.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Because we're interviewing Gloria Garcia in a minute. Yay!
Yeah. I don't mind being... I really don't mind being wrong about these theories.
I prefer it, to be fair.
Yeah, I'd rather be surprised.
All there would be with my smut, and that would not make a good podcast.
The smutcast. All right. So, Snoke, Tarkin, no?
No.
No.
Tarkin got blown up on the original Death Star.
Yeah. In
many hundreds of pieces, there would be more than a scar on his head. There'd be a bucket they'd be talking to.
He's gone. He gone.
He dead. Okay. Moving on from that then. Episode 8 is getting a rewrite and possibly a delay in the release.
Yes. Now, this is the bit about Finn getting a more extensive part, right?
Yes.
And Rey, yeah.
Finn and Rey, their roles are being beefed up, apparently. And some of the new supporting characters are being reduced.
Beefed down.
I mean, it surprises me that JJ didn't see how good their characters were when he was actually filming it. But obviously, you never really know until it's all pieced together. But they obviously realise it must be fan feedback that's done this, and obviously reviews, because they are awesome. They're both so pivotal to the whole film, aren't they?
And remember, JJ isn't writing this one. This is Rian Johnson, so his stall was set out before they completed The Force Awakens, because he had input on some of the story points in The Force Awakens to set up his films, because he's writing both 8 and 9. So he was influential on shaping 7, even though it was very much JJ and Lawrence's movie. And then he is now solely authoring 8 and 9. So the adaptations he's making now, to these adjustments he's making to the script now, are largely based on what he's seen in the final edit, I think. And there's a lot there. There's a lot of charisma there now for him to sort of build his story around, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Yes. It's interesting, though.
So how do you feel if... Because we were expecting this film in May 2017.
I thought it'd been put back now.
Well, that's a possibility. That's a fear, I think. I don't know. Nothing has been announced officially.
I think it'd be a good thing to put it back anyway.
To the December slot again?
Yeah, I think it would. I think it's too close to Rogue One, and people have been Star Wars out.
No, I don't think Rogue One's an issue.
You need something to look forward to.
Yeah, I don't think Rogue One's an issue because... I like, we were talking about this, Jeremy, the other day outside of the podcast. I'm sorry, Mark. I'm sorry.
No.
But
everything should be recorded, though.
I know, and I am. I'm recording it. I've got a thing above your house now, recording you sitting there naked doing the podcast. We felt that we didn't feel like at the moment the way they are portraying Rogue One and the way we feel about it. It doesn't feel like it's part of this universe. I know it is the same universe, but not part of Star Wars.
I think once they start dropping a few trailers, and we'll get more invested in. I think we're still caught up with the current film, and I know that I am. I'm still thinking of going to watch it a few more times yet. So I'm enjoying this, and I don't need to look to the horizon to see a Death Star coming over the horizon yet.
It might have the other effect. It might actually be the perfect precursor to Episode 8 and make even more people go. They'll have Star Wars fever.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me really if I believe the motivation for moving Episode 8 to May was to bring Star Wars back to its traditional release window. Yeah. But I also think that it's definitely going to help support Rogue One. If Rogue One had a year after its release before we got another Star Wars film, that's a lot of time for Rogue One to upset the fandom. Because if it doesn't really deliver, which I've no doubt that it will, but if it didn't deliver, and you only had 5 minutes until the next glorious Star Wars film that really hit the ground running, it wouldn't be such a problem. Do you see what I mean? I thought maybe the release of Episode 8 is kind of a safety net for the fallout of Rogue One.
Yeah, I get that. To be honest, after being so sort of wrong about everything in a good way in the lead up to The Force Awakens, I kind of don't take anything as sort of read now. You know, I'm kind of just jumping on board and away with the you know, just
enjoy the ride.
Enjoying the ride, yeah. And I kind of think, personally, I don't think it will be May. I think it will be either a summer release or a Christmas release, 2017. I can't see it being May. It's too, they're only in pre-production. I just don't, it's too soon.
Yeah, will they be ready?
Well, I mean, for May?
They've got all the pieces in place.
Yeah, I think that, you know, The Force Awakens did the heavy lifting, didn't it, with the sets and the like getting the Falcon build.
I suppose, yeah, they've got all that, yeah.
So
yeah.
Pre-production wise, they're probably well and truly underway and on schedule. And now, you know, much like they did with The Force Awakens after Harrison Ford's unfortunate accident with that hydraulic door, they're buying themselves time to get all their ducks in a row, make sure that everything in this script is correct.
You know, the original.
I think that Harrison Ford had a worse accident with a lightsaber later on, though.
Yeah, he did a little bit. Spoilers. Yeah. Steve, what was you going to say? Sorry.
The original, your tangent alert. The original Millennium Falcon, was it fully constructed like the one in this? Right, so you couldn't sell it. Now, I take it this one, you can go on board and film inside it.
Yes.
So is it going to be for sale, and how much will it be, and will it be over £5?
I think to answer your questions, no, and yes. And I think, Kevin, you might have to fight Kevin Smith for that, because he seemed to fall in love with it when he went there. He had a code name of Stage M, I believe.
But they're not going to break it up, surely.
No, that's going to be there for as long as they're making... I mean, that's Star Wars, the home of Star Wars now, that studio at Pinewood. So the Falcon will be there for a long time.
Do you think that they will do like a Harry Potter tour there one day?
I hope so.
Well,
because I'm there every day.
The Millennium Falcon is going to be coming to Disneyland, isn't it? You can go on the full one, yeah. It's going to be a replica.
What, the one they've got at Pinewood now?
No. They're going to build them in the Disney parks.
Okay.
A full-size one.
I didn't realise that in Episode 2, you can see three of those freighters lined up together.
Oh, right.
I never saw it. Bottom left of the screen, YouTube it, Google it. I think it's Episode 2, could be wrong, could be 3, could be 1, but I think it's 2.
I think it's 3.
Okay, and they are on the bit where... It's not the bit you see the proper Millennium Falcon, because I know that exists. There are three of them in a semicircle on the ground, and I'd never seen it before, and I was like, oh my God. It's on YouTube in 50 Things You Missed About Star Wars or something like that.
We'll try and get that into the Talk Star Wars playlist so people can go and sift through.
It was, and there were a lot of things. It might have been mistakes as well in there, but there was a lot of really interesting stuff on that.
Easter eggs, no doubt.
Yeah, big time, baby.
Okay, let's talk about the fact that John Boyega may have ruined part of Episode 8 with a comment that he made about Finn, considering where we last left Finn.
Explain.
John Boyega has revealed that Episode 8 is dark and weird, and that he has got to spend more time in the gym because his role is a lot more physical than it was in The Force Awakens.
Okay.
Now, you consider the amount of running around and lightsaber fighting he did in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, how the heck can it be more physical than that?
Yeah,
well, he might be actually better with a lightsaber because he was pretty rubbish.
Yeah, but he can't have a lightsaber. He's not Jedi. He's not allowed.
He's not Jedi. And today I finished the audiobook, and I can tell you that Finn, there is a passage in that book that said during the duel between Finn and Kylo Ren, Finn couldn't even sense the force that Kylo Ren was using.
There you go.
So Finn's a muggle.
He has no midichlorians at all.
And when we left him, he was a wounded muggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wounded in Star Wars land, he isn't really much.
No.
To be fair, Anakin got his leg cut off and his arm cut off and fell in a volcano, and then he force choked loads of people after that. So I'm pretty sure if Finn got a little scratch on his back, he'd be fine.
He can bounce back.
That was a big... Why did not... You can cut through a tree like without it, like butter, like a knife through butter. How come he isn't in half after that? Or did he just get in with the end?
I think he just got in with the tip.
So you're saying he just put the tip in.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Gary on Talk Star Wars. Okay, some Rogue One news. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, is getting more practical, real-world aliens. Have you guys seen anything about this?
Do you mean real aliens? Is that what real-world aliens
are? I think they're trying to cast actual aliens.
They might be...
Does that mean we'd see Paul in there? Because I like Paul.
Yeah, well, not our Paul. Seth Rogen Paul from the film Paul. Yeah.
Have I joined a surreal podcast where I'm not actually... I did take a diazepam for my back a minute ago. What's that?
No. This is Neil Scanlon again, who I mentioned earlier, talking about the practical approach to alien effects in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and he was saying how you're not going to get the menagerie of exotic creatures that we got in the Cantina and in Jabba's Palace and in Maz Kanata's castle. But what we're going to...
No shrimp aliens.
We're not going to get shrimp aliens.
I like the shrimp aliens. They're my favourite.
There's one in there that looks like a giant worm in Maz's castle. Yeah, but these guys are all going to be practical. And I'm reading between the lines with this chap's comments, but I think he's pretty much saying that it's being done to speed up production so that you can have characters with your strike team and your assault team, because this is very much Saving Private Ryan, remember? So you've got to have characters that can move through their environment and deliver.
So real world aliens, what you mean, Mark, is people with a bit of makeup on.
People with a bit of makeup on, yeah. And stuff that they can enhance, potentially in post, but probably with radio-controlled mechanisms and bellows and things like that.
People with green faces that can CGI.
Possibly, but I mean, I put something on the site about it. I don't think they're going to want to take more than one pass at these scenes, because with doing CG, like imagine Maz Kanata in The Force Awakens, Lupita Nyong'o had to do practical photography there, and then you had a slightly smaller actress who portrayed the role so that they could get the eye lines right. Then you had to do, I think they call them like a plate pass for the match shot, so that you can composite it with no one there, with her delivering her lines off camera. So you're talking about three separate passes at a scene just to get the elements you need when the scene's done right. And if you're doing multiple takes, you really start to clock up the hours.
She reminds me, Maz Kanata, of that woman who's in the principal of the film where Arnie's in, where he plays a kindergarten cop. I've just realised how much she reminds me of her.
Okay, but there you go. So Rogue One is getting more practical. Aliens. Okay, we'll get through a couple more stories and then we'll get to our interview with Gloria. Season 2 of Star Wars Rebels, there's a ferocious trailer out there. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't, because I'm going to watch it with Freddie.
It's an incredible edit. It's very much in the style of... It's kind of like the early trailers for The Force Awakens. Really moody, deep stuff in there. It's fantastic. But it includes a couple of hints at The Force Awakens. There's a triple-bladed lightsaber in there.
Wow, a triple
blade. Yeah, like Kylo's lightsaber. You know, with the two little bits coming out of there.
Oh, I see. You mean the exhaust ports?
Yeah, but they're not really. Well, whatever. Let's not stop. That's another podcast. But I think this is really interesting now that they're starting to leak these little bits and pieces out into the TV show.
Well, I think it's because
it's still part of an expanded universe, properly now, isn't it?
Yeah, they're really starting to build on it, aren't they? Because Leia makes an appearance in an upcoming episode as well.
Can I go tangents, Phil?
Why not?
What was the budget for Episode 7? And now it's been so successful, are Disney now going...
About 200 million, wasn't it?
I don't think... I can quickly check on Box Office Mojo, but I practically live on Box Office Mojo at the moment following this film's
Because I bet you
success.
Any money now that they've basically said, whatever you want. And so will Episode 8 be even better than it would have been? Like,
I think you've got to be careful by throwing too much money at it, because I think George Lucas was told that and he just thought, well, I'll build a load of computer stuff then.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. But I don't. That's not exactly what I mean. Is no, you know, whatever actors you want, or however, because CGI, we know this for a fact, and Mark will probably give me more detail on this. The more money you put into CGI, the better it is. They've kind of shown where CGI fails, and the more you spend in, you know, processing and time, it does improve. So. And there, you know, we know, like in Force Awakens, there are a couple of CGI moments that weren't perfect. I know a lot of people, myself included, have said about Snoke could have been better. I think that they're going to just get this now. And
I think when you see Snoke in the flesh, he's going to look amazing.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see that in Episode 8. And Steve, I couldn't agree with you more. I think the more money you put into CGI, the more time you have to render, the better it gets. But we have to remember that Episode 7 had more special effects shots, more CGI shots than any of the Star Wars prequels.
Mm. And after seeing it last night, those effects in the background, which I wasn't looking at last time, are when the planet was exploding, and they are phenomenal, massive chunks
everything.
Of Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gorgeous,
just,
isn't it?
That was just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Even the ships in the atmosphere getting caught up. When Starkiller Base was exploding, you saw TIE fighters trying to get away and caught up in the eruptions. It was fantastic. The effects were amazing in that.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. Really beautiful. Okay. Are we ready to have our conversation with Gloria?
Very excited about it.
Okay, here we go then. Right. Here is our interview with Gloria Garcia, the defender of Jakku in Star Wars The Force Awakens. Gloria Garcia, welcome to Talk Star Wars.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy to be on.
That's great. And congratulations on The Force Awakens. It's an incredible success.
Oh my God. It's been an incredible experience, I've got to tell you.
So, I mean, this is probably the biggest cinematic event in history, potentially. And
yeah.
You're a part of it. That must feel bewildering.
You know what? It's so funny how there was one day that it just completely dawned on me what was going on, because, you know, you turn on the news or every other commercial or every other thing is, you know, you hear the music, you see a clip, you know, you walk past the theaters, it's all... And you just go, this is absolutely surreal. And then every time I hear something back from like a fan, and this, you know, a dedicated Star Wars fan, you go, my God, they are talking to me and they're asking me questions. And how weird is that?
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Twitter went mad for you. There's all kinds of things for you on Twitter, isn't there?
Oh my God. Well, I think Twitter is just this whole like gamut within itself where you go, my God, it's a whole other world. But then to be intertwined with people, you know, of the number one movie who have been waiting for it now for, you know, 10 years for this comeback, and to be within the first, you know, few minutes of this comeback and like have presence in that first 4 minutes is just, it's unbelievable, actually.
Because for a lot of people, like us old timers that you're talking to, we've been waiting for 30 years. it's even bigger for us.
Hey, well, listen, I've been waiting too. When you see the likes of Harrison Ford on, and you go, God, he's so attractive. He's older now, but he's so attractive. You go, oh my God, like I remember the first one.
Yeah. So are these the Star Wars films? You've grown up with them. Have you been a fan of the movies for a long time?
Yeah, completely. How can you not be? I mean, you know, come on. It really is the best. Like, you know, it's not, I hate to call it like a series. It's not even a series. It's just the whole storytelling. It's, you know, and you knew back 10 years ago it was never ending. It was just inevitable. It was coming back. Like, we all knew that. All the quote unquote adults knew that, right?
Yeah, the adults in the loosest possible term.
Yeah.
And coming back.
It's coming back.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, it came back pretty strong.
It did. It really did. And it's funny because, you know, I think everybody's, how do you say it? I almost felt like before it came out, everybody almost wanted to not like it, or they almost wanted to hate it, or they almost wanted to go, oh, that wasn't as good, or that's, you know, this was different than that, and they should have done that, and this should, and it's gotten an incredible response. Like, everybody is just digging it, and how can you not? You know, so it's really great to know that it's not only come out after 10 years, but after the 10 years, it's just as fantastic as it was 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine anyone liking it. Can you, Steve?
That's what I was going to say. It's been listening to the podcast.
Yeah, full disclosure. Steve wasn't sold initially, but
really?
After we hit him with a barrage of screenings, he's We've turned him around.
After we've spoken about it and waxed lyrical about it for about 15 hours, and I saw it again last night on IMAX in 3D. And,
did you?
I really liked it.
We were there together. We cheered for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
You guys are awesome. See, I haven't seen it in 3D yet.
To see, Gloria, you need to see it in IMAX 3D.
I have not seen it in IMAX 3D yet. I've gone to our you know, my local theater, you know, the one with the kickback lounge chairs and the martinis.
Oh, that sounds like another way. There you go, boys. We've got another viewing now. We're going to need to go for the martini screening.
Get yourself over here. We'll take you to the movies.
Oh my God.
You're in the UK, aren't you, Gloria?
In the UK.
Yeah, I'm in central London. I'm in can I say out loud? I'm in Hampstead. Yeah. I'm in Hampstead. So yeah, this the Hampstead Theatre here.
Yeah, we're just down the road from you. We'll do that. We'll treat you to an IMAX screening.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay, and your husband was in the movie as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
You have to bring him down as well.
You know what? Kudos to him. That's how it all got started.
I was going to ask actually. Yeah, what was the path to Star Wars for you?
Well, my God, do you know that one day he came home and said that he had gotten stopped by this girl, you know, like a street casting, and they were looking for people with dark skin and really light eyes, and he, you know, has dark skin and light blue eyes, and he's like, oh, okay, maybe, I don't know, you know, because he's a music producer, so, you know, he's not bothered with all this stuff, and he goes, oh, but, you know, my wife would probably be loving this. He goes, let me give you, you know, her information or whatever. So I ended up contacting the casting company, and they, you know, took my name, my photographs and everything. And the next thing you know, we were booked for, you know, more than a month on what was this secret film.
Wow.
Because they just didn't tell anybody what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, you know, it was 2 days prior to when it was supposed to start, when we were booked, and they reached out to me and said that they didn't need me anymore. And I was so bummed because I thought, you know, it just would have been cool. I didn't even know what it was yet. And then but my husband still wanted my husband. And then the day before, they called me and they're like, you know, Gloria, can you still come? I go, are you kidding me? Of course. And so, you know, we showed up and he had gone for like a fitting before, but, you know, you are under strict rule. You are not allowed to say anything to anybody about what it is, even to your spouse, significant other, nothing, family. Like you are under strict rules not to say anything. And anyway, we ended up on, you know, the Star Wars set. And it is one of those moments in life that it's like your wedding day. Well, you hope at least that you never forget that moment, because it's almost just like so untrue yet true to form, where it's just mind blowing. Cause you go, I can't believe this is happening right now.
So when was it revealed to you that it was the new Star Wars movie then? Quite late in the day?
When I ended up going for the fitting, which was not too much, you know, which was the day before, because they didn't need me anymore. So when I went for the fitting, but then when, you know, my husband had known, but he didn't tell me what it was, because you're not allowed.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
That's impressive.
It goes to show you how strict in rules they were with, you know, not letting you know what was what. So we ended up going for the fitting. I ended up going for the fitting, and then they dress you, and then you know, you're in this this just incredible, like, huge place in Pinewood Studios. And what was the theme of who we were, you know, everybody was dark skin and really light eyes. And so there was a consistency and a theme on who we were. So we had our own story, which I think is yet to be revealed.
Is this the... Because are you affiliated with the Church of the Force? Is it something like that?
Yes, yes.
There you see. See, guys? I pay attention.
In Jakku.
Yes. Yeah, so the defenders of Jakku are all, at least in that village, related to the Church of the Force.
Yes.
And Max von Sydow, I take it, is the elder or the chief of this church.
Yes. Oh, I got to tell you, he's just, his presence on set is really something to behold.
Because he's a legend as well.
Yeah, I mean, a legend. And then he just walks on set and you go, my God. But with such grace and elegance, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So when did this film, when was principal photography at Pinewood? Would that be about 2 years ago now?
Almost, yeah. God, it had to be like a year and a half to 2 years ago.
Wow.
So we've had to keep, everybody had to keep it hush-hush for this
insane.
Long.
That's insane. I don't know how you manage that.
And you have to understand, too, that when we were on set, you know, the second we got on set, they would take your phones, they would take any type of, you know, computer or phone, you know, anything that you had. They took it. You were not allowed to do anything. So I remember there was an uproar. I think somebody let out some photographs in Abu Dhabi. And, you know, they were in a little bit of trouble about that because they were, you know, you were not allowed to take photographs. And then on set, too, when we were, you know, outside at Pinewood, we would be covered from head to toe so you couldn't see what we had on because there were drones and, you know, the press and media were just, of course, all over Pinewood trying to see what was going on. And so they weren't having any of that. So they made sure everybody was covered. We were all secure. And that was that.
Filming Star Wars in the modern world. Not quite so simple these days, is it?
Right.
About the drones. We've seen them outside our house. I don't even want to get undressed in my bedroom anymore. I'm frightened.
I don't blame you.
I have to make sure the heating's on just in case.
I don't blame you. I always think about, oh my God, which movie was it with Ray Liotta where he was in the car and the his nice big old car and they were the helicopter was following him.
Oh, it's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Yeah. I always think about that, like somebody following somebody around.
Right, well, we let a few people know that you were going to be on tonight, and we've got a couple of listener questions that we want to throw at you, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
This is from, we've got a regular emailer on the show. He's a loyal, dedicated Star Wars fan. His name's Rob. No surprise to the guys, that's the guy that emailed
me. Hi, Rob.
He wanted to ask, he's got two questions. First one he's thrown out is, how heavy was that rifle that you were holding?
Wow, that is a good question. It was heavy. It was heavy. I mean, those rifles that were made, they were all custom made. His name was Alan, and he was this great guy and super creative, super inventive, and he made all of these. So they were pretty heavy. They were pretty significant. I mean, when you pull the trigger, you know, the sounds and the colors that would come from it, it was pretty real.
And is it, am I right in saying that you've got some personal experience with firearms?
Yes.
Yeah,
I do. I'm an ex-Cook County sheriff from Chicago.
Wow. That is amazing.
That's a bit of a
sheriff's
curve,
department to the defender of Jakku. That's one hell of a path.
To the defender of Jakku, right? Cook County Sheriff to the defender of Jakku. Yeah, I was in the Cook County Sheriff's Department in Chicago. So I trained, when I was in training, I trained under the SWORT team, which is the Special Operations Response Team. So, Chicago is a pretty, well, I'm sure as everybody knows, you know, you're talking about crime city. And so the Cook County Sheriff's, we were based on 26th and Kedzie. Like it's, you know, I mean, that is like down home, you know, like Chicago. So we were based there. And then the training academy was in Melrose Park. So it was cool, though, because I got to be, you know, I was a sheriff, Cook County Sheriff. And then I got to train the incoming cadets at the training academy through their physicals. So that was cool, too, because that was, you know, that's an honor to be able to train when they come through. You know, these guys come through once a week and they want to be a sheriff, and you put them through their physicals and everything else. And it's, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie there. So, you know, the camaraderie is a great thing, and a lot that I learned from being involved there. But yeah, going back to the question about weapons. Yeah, I had professional weapon training for sure.
No wonder you look like such a natural, and it really shows up on that glorious IMAX screen, doesn't it?
Yeah, what was so funny was that when how I got chosen for the shot was J.J. Abrams had, you know, first he had all the guys come on set, and then he had them pick up weapons, and then he chose X amount of guys, and he, like, you know, said, okay, like, just go to the side here. Then he brought up the girls, and then so we, you know, lifted up weapons, and he looked right at me, and he's like, oh my God, you look like you're gonna kill me. And I was nervous because I thought, oh my God, is he gonna fire me? Like, this is like, I thought, oh great, first they didn't want me, now he's gonna fire me as a supporting actor.
Yeah, it could have been, maybe you thought he was gonna do that Hitchcock thing of fire someone on the first day to show how tough
he is. Oh my God, right? I was like, oh Lord. And then the next thing you know, he pulled me aside and all of a sudden just gave me this scene. And I just, it was mind blowing. And it was totally mind blowing. And I think he was beside himself when he found out I was actually Cook County Sheriff, because he couldn't believe it. You know, he looked at me like, no, like it couldn't be true. Like the one girl I pick, who I see, you know, who I thought was going to kill me with a rifle because she knew how to pick up a gun. Now, all of a sudden, I found out she's the Cook County Sheriff. And it was just like a very cool moment.
Well, in a movie that really celebrates the empowerment of the female character, he couldn't have made a better choice for the first woman you see on screen in a new movie, could he?
Why, thank you. That's thank splendid. You very much.
Well, you're like the new Boba Fett almost, the fan base you're getting.
Ah, they're amazing. I mean, you know, you always hear about, and I've growing up, you know, I've always heard about Star Wars fans. I've always been a fan myself, you know, but let's think going back all those years too, you know, all this social media wasn't available either way. So I know all the conventions and everything, you know, obviously always existed, but this to me is just to be involved in it. And then to have that interaction with fans, like, it's just, it's such a blessing, and it's so exciting because I've now started getting, like, they ask me questions about, you know, girls ask me questions about, like, hair and makeup, and, you know, boys ask me questions about, oh my God, you know, what was the trigger on the gun this way, or how was it that, like, every single detail, and they're so up to par on every single detail. I mean, I went to a dinner party the other night, and I got bombarded by, like, three little boys who were like, oh my God, so how were the stormtroopers, and how did that look, and what was that, and was that on GI, or was that on blue screen, or was that...
Yeah.
and you just go, oh my God. So the idea of one day hopefully meeting, you know, God willing, on these convention circuits and everything, meeting these people in person, you know, for me, that would be the biggest coup, because they're the best fans in the world. The fans are what have made this movie number one, you know?
Yeah, and I think... It is. We are obviously we're the fandom, so we are the blood that flows through it. But you guys, you're the heart that's beating. So, I mean, I saw you and I heard you on Rebel Force Radio, and I got impressions of Vanessa Marshall from Star Wars Rebels. The way you're in it, but you're celebrating it, and you're enthusiastic about it as well. And that should be applauded, and it should be congratulated, because that's why we gravitate towards these things. You know, it's a family.
It is a family, and I thank you for saying that. I consider myself very lucky. I mean, it was, you know, people always talk about luck, timing, and talent, or, you know, that type of thing. It was luck and timing, being at the right place, I guess, at the right time, and then finally when you were asked to do something, you did it, and you did it, like, for even if the 2 seconds, to the best of your ability, and then the reaction was just, has been great. Like, people are, it's so funny, these tweets I get, like, people are like just digging the chick with the rifle.
Yeah.
You know, they're digging it, and I just love it. I love them. They're amazing.
Well, we never would have thought we'd been talking to the chick with the rifle 4 weeks ago after watching it for the first time. That's really surreal.
Well, yeah, about it from my perspective too, from the opposite side, I would never think that I'd be talking Star Wars with anybody, you know what I mean? Yeah. I thought to me I'd be talking, like, you know, recipes or how to become a Cook County Sheriff.
Yeah, well, we did a bit of, we hit a bit on a bit of that, didn't we? Jeremy, you got a question?
Yeah,
I have. Are you gonna get a figure, as in a toy?
I don't know. Listen, I hope so. I think, you know, believe it or not, you know, it's in the hands of the big guys, but I think it's in the hands too of the fans. If the fans keep asking and wanting it, then I think sooner or later, You know, that's kind of that's inevitably what happens, right?
We bombarded with tweets for that then.
wouldn't it be great? Are you joking? An action figure. That would be brilliant.
We'll start a poll for that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll get that going. Yeah, that'll be up on the site first thing tomorrow morning.
I would literally just continuously play with myself if I had an action figure.
Gloria, I apologise for Steve.
And there we have it. And there
Foxter's mind. I was being literal then.
Steve, you've actually got a question that isn't smutty.
Oh, well, then I don't want to say it. No. You've already touched on this, Gloria. You said about how you couldn't say a jot about being in film, which is totally understandable. But how soon after knowing you were going to be in it, could you talk about it? And did you ever sort of come across a situation where someone you know was talking about The Force Awakens and you casually dropped in that you're in it? And what did they do? Did they freak out? Or did that situation never happen?
No, we were able to talk about it. When I say we, you know, like my husband and I, because, you know, granted, I mean, you know, you go out to dinner and then people are talking about Star Wars, or, you know, this is before it opened, and you were like, oh, I can't say nothing. Like, we can't tell anybody.
So not even until it opened, you couldn't say anything?
No. No. You just, I mean, I think you got to the point where you were so used to not saying it to anybody that you just, you figured, we waited this long, why blow it now? So it wasn't until afterwards where then you go, like, I can actually speak up and say, yeah, this is, you know, we're in it, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important that I point out at this stage that if there are any casting agents listening now, I would be a steel trap. So I think I'm a shoo-in for the next movie.
Yeah,
all of us.
You know, but the casting agents that truly that casted for this, you know, they're really are the best agents. I mean, because what happens is, you know, they're really, they get the big films. They know they know people within the industry, but they are very good with making it rules to where, you know, they pick the right people and they make sure that you don't say anything. I mean, because then you just, you know, you just ruin everything. Like, why ruin something that everybody is excited about it and everybody works really hard on?
You wouldn't risk it, would you? You know, I would definitely be able to keep that secret. Just knowing that I was in it, I'd be sort of dancing on my own little world, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I was, you know, that I had to wait for, you know, over a year is, you know, is this scene in or isn't it in?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You always go, oh, I wonder if it's going to make it in the movie. And I know when he directed me in it and he was explaining it and then he personally directed me. And then after we shot it, he called me behind the camera and, he let me watch it with him, and you could tell he was so stoked about it. He was so excited. But then you go, God, there's going to be a gazillion other of these moments where he's thrilled about what's happening, especially with the main celebrities. Like, it's, you know, it's so, but it goes to show you how incredible of a person he is to be so, like, visibly excited in front of all of his, you know, ADs and producers and everybody else, to be excited about a supporting actor that he just directed for a second shot.
What a generous guy.
It goes to show you the way he is. Like, he's just an incredible human being. And so he was just as excited about my clip that he was when I saw him excited about everybody else's, you know?
I mean, Mark was saying last night about how episode 8, you know, they're rewriting that as an example of, you know, things that are being cut out because Rey and Finn are going to be in it more. Because they were so well received, particularly Finn, I believe, Mark, right?
Yeah, they're building up the Finn and the Rey characters in the rewrites been reading. Yeah,
I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure people fell in love with them.
Absolutely.
You know what's not to fall in love with? It's like they are the newbie, the newfound characters. You know, that were handpicked by JJ. So they, you know, they're people love them. People love them. People love them.
I think they're a big part of the success of the film as well.
Pardon me?
They're a big part of the success of the film. They're such likeable characters.
Oh my God, yeah, they absolutely are.
Did you get to spend much time with the principal cast on the set?
No, you know what? We were I mean, Anthony Daniels had come on set whilst we were there, but he didn't film while we were there, you know, other than like, and then Max, and then Oscar Isaac was on set. So we were always working with him. Cause you know, too, then I protect Poe.
You do. You give him his out, don't you? You save his life.
I protect Poe. So everybody asks me, am I dead yet? I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't think so. And then I always laugh because I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I want to come back. And, you know, can Poe at least come and thank me? You know.
So did you film you didn't film a death scene then of you being shot?
Well, we kind of did all as the villagers, but you don't really see. You don't really see what's really happening. That's what I'm saying. I think the Jakku villagers is still like very mysterious on exactly what's happening.
Because you're all in a ring in the middle, aren't you? And then you just see the laser blast, but you don't actually see them getting
Yeah, warm. Exactly. Exactly.
Were you standing by your husband at that point? Were you together?
We were.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Okay. Went out like, together.
Like almost like real
Bonnie
life.
And Clyde.
Yeah. Were you like Bonnie and Clyde. Playing a married couple, but you're just in your own minds in Jakku.
You know
villages.
What? They had us play next to each other in quite a bit.
Okay.
They would pull us together in a lot.
Okay.
Did we see him getting led off? He had his hands on his head and he got shoved by a stormtrooper. Was that your husband?
No.
I'll cut that bit out because I look stupid now.
No, but at one point they've got Poe that they're doing that to. Remember he's got his hands up behind his head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mark sees things that even JJ hasn't seen, like in the background.
Yeah. Steve, mostly because I'm making that stuff up, mate.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, that you know, Adam Driver was on when we were on, Oscar Isaac for sure, and then Gwendolyn Christie, who boy, she is one tall girl, like she came on set and you go, oh my god, you think to yourself, no wonder she's like the top of the top of the top in Game of Thrones, like no wonder she is the loved person, because she's just like, again, her presence, just like Max, is just like, you go, wow, that is just cool. She's just cool.
Yeah. And did you see her on set with your scenes or just hanging around elsewhere? Because she's not actually on the, am I right? Is that, she's not actually on the planet in Jakku?
No, she
told them to shoot them.
Yeah, oh, right. Remember? Yes. Yeah. And she's got the beautiful silver from head to toe. Yeah.
I've only seen it twice. Jeremy's seen it 97 times.
Yeah, but Steve, you only just saw it last night.
Watched it for the first time last night. You've seen it before, so but last night you watched it.
Captain Phasma.
Yeah, so she's the one. So imagine her coming on set with this beautiful silver, like, you know, you just go, oh my god.
Did you, before you shot those scenes, did you see much of a script for it? Or was it all done on the soundstage?
No, we didn't. So it was all done on the soundstage, you know. I mean, I'm sure they had, I mean, obviously they had their scripts and, you know, they had an idea of what when where we were going to go and what we were doing. But we didn't, as supporting actors, we did not. Yeah, we just, you know.
They keep those things locked down, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. But talk about a well-oiled machine, but yet something that there was always a sense of magic to it every time you stepped on set, you know. I mean, it's just... It's magical. It's a magical place to be.
I bet. Actually, that's a good place to drop this other listener question in. It's another question from Rob. He wanted to know what was more exciting to work on. I think we know the answer. Star Wars or James Bond?
Oh, Star Wars.
That was a good James answer on a Star Wars podcast.
No, I don't want to compare, but I mean, you know, James Bond, you're talking about still a living legend, you know, I mean, a movie, a complete spectacle where you go, oh my god, like, you know, the budgets are there, the story is there, all the gadgets are there, all the, you know, it is like the spy, you know, the best spy movie you can be on. But even in that, you know, I didn't get a feature on that, but still, it was still a great set to be on, you know. But as far as like the magnitude of the sets and everything in Star Wars, that was just incredible. So yeah, I mean, Star Wars for sure. It's like, you know, the scenes in Spectre were much more contained, the ones that I was personally on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't the set was not of the magnitude, anywhere near the magnitude of what Star Wars was. I mean, that one, when you walk into the Star Wars set and you're outside and it is like you almost feel like that is your home and you're living on the village. It's that much of a difference. You go, my God, this is just incredible.
I think you said it, Gloria, but did you say a month that you was involved for?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we were shooting nights. So, you know, think about it. We were shooting nights and then we're there till maybe, you know, 3-4 in the morning. And so these were long days for everybody. I mean, so, you know, bless them, the you know, I'm sure the likes, I mean, JJ and all those guys and all the producers, all the ADs, you know, they were with the celebrities all day or with the main characters and then doing that all day. And then we were coming in late. So, I mean, they just kept going. I mean, what an incredible bunch. And they made it fun. I mean, we laughed a lot. Like, we laughed a lot on set, which was the best, you know. So everywhere from, you know, when we were all, you know, eating to our breaks to working, you know, it was a blast. It was never boring.
I'm so jealous.
No one would ever complain because it was just fun.
When I'm going to work tomorrow and I'm inputting numbers into a spreadsheet, I'm not going to remember you favourably. You know that, yeah. Gloria. You're like, bloody Gloria.
I got really lucky, and for that, I'm very thankful.
Well,
very thankful.
I just wonder if you're prepared for what's coming next. I mean, you know, this Star Wars thing, your character is going to live on indefinitely now in expanded universe stories, in comic books and novels.
That would be absolutely incredible. You know, I'm unnamed at this point, and we'll see what pans out via the fans and via, you know, just, I mean, the interaction and everything else. It's like, you know, but all I can say is it's been a blast. No pun intended.
Well, we'll start a vote for you. Name the Jakku Defender.
That would be awesome.
Let's see if we can get something done.
And we'll get that rifle named as well. The Santi 11.
Right? Did you see that?
Yeah.
How sweet was that? That somebody wrote that. Yeah. How sweet was that? Santi 11. I love it. Well, but it goes to show you the interaction with the fans and how cool they are. It's like, to go ahead and do that, you just go, oh my God. Like,
we'll be pestering,
you know,
Pablo.
It's out of love, care, and concern, and like just like feeling proud of Star Wars, you know?
I mean, it sounds like you are one of those fans who happens to be in it as well.
Well, I love it. I mean, how could you, like, it's like the coolest thing to be a fan and then and be in the movie. I mean, you just go, God, like, anybody would, you know, people keep sending me like texts going, God, I'm feeling a little jealous. I go, don't worry, I did it for all of us.
So, as you are a fan, I'm going to do the thing that we ask most people. What order do you like the Star Wars films in? 7, obviously, is your favourite. But where would you rank 1 to 6 after that?
I hate to say it, but I'd have to do them in order.
Really?
Well, as order... Yeah. Or
you gotta understand. I mean, I was watching the beginning of Star Wars when you guys were watching the beginning of Star Wars. Sure. So for so for me,
in release order.
So 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7.
Yep, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very diplomatic, Gloria.
And the Phantom, I love the Phantom Menace. But I have I'm how do I say? I gear towards Phantom Menace because my buddy's in Phantom Menace too.
Who's that?
Jerome Blake is in Phantom Menace, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's played several characters, so yeah, he's a cool guy.
Another returning actor then, so hopefully that bodes well for you, and we'll see you hopefully in one of the new movies.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That's the beauty of Star Wars, you can always put on makeup and a costume and away you go.
That would be amazing. With the rifle name, a name, and a thank you from Poe. No.
Yeah, that's what you want. A bunch of roses and a bottle of bubbly from Poe. So what's up for you next, Gloria?
Well, I'm involved in my studies now. I study at the poor school, drama school here in London.
Right.
So I'm involved in my studies there. And then I had a small part, a very small part, in The Infiltrator, which is going to be out this year as well. And that was directed by Brad Furman. And Bryan Cranston is in that, and Diane Kruger. And that was that's a true story.
Okay.
So, but again, you know, it's one of those things, guys, where I don't know until it comes out if I'm in it or not, because, you know, the editing process goes on for a year or then some. And so you just never know what they're going to pull and what will work and, you know, that type of thing. So you can only hope that something like that, you know, comes up.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, but in the meantime, it's studying away.
Studying and being a part of Star Wars fandom.
Yeah.
So where can people find you, Gloria, on the internet? Where can they come to celebrate with you, congratulate you?
It's at GloriaSanti11.
On Twitter?
That's the Twitter page, yeah.
Okay, I'll pop a link into the description of this show so that people can find you easier.
So it says it says Gloria Garcia, but then it's at GloriaSanti, which is S-A-N-T-I, and then the number 11.
Super. Right, we'll direct people your way.
That is great.
Gloria, you've been an absolute delight, and congratulations on everything.
Likewise. And let me know when you're in my part of town, because we're going to hit the lounge theater for some martinis to watch it again.
I'm on my way to the car now.
It's a date. Definitely.
Okay, thank you, Gloria, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you, Gloria.
Bye.
Right, so that was our interview with Gloria Garcia, the Jakku defender from Star Wars The Force Awakens, which we all went to see just last night in IMAX, and it had the pleasant effect of turning one of our opinions around almost completely, didn't it, Steve?
Jeremy. Oh, me. Oh. No, I hated it. No, I loved it. I really liked it.
You enjoyed it a lot more, didn't you?
I know why. I had a problem with it the first time, because I went in there with so many preconceptions and with my brain turned on, massively turned on into thinky mode, which isn't a good idea as a man, and certainly not when you've got limited intelligence. So I turned it off.
And we've got to just say though, Steve, you are only barely one of those two things.
Well, I'm fully one and barely the other. Fully no intelligence and barely a man. And
I'd have done the other way around.
You stolen my wind.
Sorry, Stephen. You love The Force Awakens.
I don't love it. I like it a very, very great deal. I went in before I was on, you know, I think I said a 6.5, something like that. I was a solid, I'm not, I hate putting a number on things, 8.5. Going up. I think if I see it again, I'm really gonna love it. I kind of forgave the whole hand thing, because you get used to it. It's like any loss in your life, isn't it? And I kind of understood it a bit more from what Kylo said to him before, because I kind of missed that. I know it's obvious, but I kind of missed that before, because I was ready to walk out. But you know, when he says, I need you to help me, and he said, of course I will, and that was all part of it, and it kind of made sense. Still annoys me that Harrison Ford got his way, and because he was so good in this film. And just 5 minutes before, he was doing good one-liners, and you thought, there's no way they're going to kill him off. It's Harrison Ford. He's going to be in it forever. I kind of forgiven him for that a bit. The rest of the film was very hard to fault, I have to say, after seeing it a second time. Brilliant in 3D. No obvious 3D. It was, except for the bit that I'm glad it was obvious, where you're sitting nose on to a Star Destroyer and it looks like it's going to poke you in the eye.
That which did I thought look good.
Was, oh, it's amazing.
That did look
we
good.
We saw it in IMAX as well, which is even better. But I thought, yeah, I was very, very impressed with it last night. And I was quite shocked as how I've gone from one extreme to the other. But I'm happy to, because it is Star Wars and I am, you know, a Star Wars fan. But it's had that effect on me now. And I think a lot of people have probably had the same thing. One thing I will say, if you didn't like it, watch it again, maybe not at the cinema, but you know, watch it again in when it comes out on Blu-ray or DVD May 8th, is it? Or
I think at the moment I'm pretty sure we're looking at April, though there is some talk that it could be June.
Okay, so watch it again, because I think you won't, but you can't. Thing is, I couldn't have gone any other way than up, because I really wasn't impressed, and I've literally I almost love it now.
And I'm really pleased we went.
Is there anything in particular that stands out to you from this viewing that you didn't appreciate in the first viewing?
And we've spoken about it. We've waxed lyrical about it for ages, and that is Daisy Ridley's character's force abilities showing through earlier on, and particularly that bit where she's jumping on the rope, because I'm sure they sped that up deliberately because it's a quick jump, and it was like, oh, that looked like not natural. And there are little bits like that dotted all through it, which I did think, okay, they are kind of, it wasn't sprung on the people making the film, oh poop, we've just made her go and have no force and now she's awesome. It was obviously intentional, and that shone through.
I think that's the thing about the repeat viewing of it. The more you view it, any plot holes you think you found, you plug, because you can see all these different things that they very, very subtly put in there that you can pick up on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's one in particular. When we left the screening last night, Jeremy, I said to you, didn't I, on the catwalk between Han and Kylo Ren, after Kylo Ren has done the deed, there's a look on his face, and I'd never picked up on it previously, and it's kind of like something died inside of him, or like a bubble had burst. And and that scene, that micro moment, Adam Driver just delivers on awesome. He's spectacular in this film.
Steve hated that scene initially, didn't he?
It's so nuanced, that performance. He does
both of them. Fantastic.
He does this tiny little micro, this little piece of micro acting with this little expression on his face, and then it hands off neatly to Leia, and she feels something. And it knocks her off her feet because she drops down, sits on like some storage container or something that's behind her. And I just wondered what she was feeling. And I know
it's the same as when Alderaan blew up, wasn't it?
Yeah, he felt he had that feeling, didn't he? Then
it's almost like a million voices cried out and then were silenced.
Suddenly silenced. Yeah, it's I finished the audiobook today and they mentioned that scene, and he points out in the audiobook that Kylo Ren is weaker after he's taken Han's life than he was before. Doing it weakened him, and I think that's what Leia felt. I don't think she necessarily felt the loss of Han. I think she felt what happened to Kylo Ren.
But wasn't it supposed to strengthen him and in his dark powers?
Well, that's what he's been led to believe, isn't it?
Yeah. So lends credence to your theory about him becoming good and Rey becoming bad.
But this is what I wonder, because I put a Twitter poll out actually asking whether or not Kylo Ren was beyond redemption now after what he'd done. But now I'm starting to think that perhaps this is his beginning of his return, if you like, so to speak. I know it's early days because it's only just happened, but that there's a part in the novelization again where we're told Snoke values Kylo Ren because he is made of both dark and light. He uses both the dark side and the light side of the Force. Killing Han destroyed that light in him. So he's immediately weakened, much to the way Anakin was really powerful, and then after he got into his bust up with Obi-Wan and he lost all of his limbs, he became significantly weaker. And I think Kylo Ren's going to take a similar path. Now, Vader's path was the one to redemption. So is that where we're going to see Kylo go?
Possibly.
And to be fair, Kylo's done nothing compared to what Anakin did. Anakin could be redeemed after slaughtering all the younglings and all the other terrible things he
did. Betraying everybody.
There is no way that Kylo has gone past that. All he did was kill his dad. I mean, you know, we've all thought about that.
okay. No, I know what you mean. I think it was a very, very good thing that I went again, because it could have ruined my entire Star Wars career.
Yeah, well, it's nice. I knew that you'd be impressed once, because I think that first viewing is so... Jeremy, you and I have spoken about this. It's so loaded with anticipation. And I think you need to get that one out of the way, because if it died immediately in front of you, if you watched that film and it didn't work, you'd leave thinking, that's me, done.
I think it was a shame that neither of you went to you know, the I know Mark, you couldn't, but and Steve went with, you know, just on his own. I think as I went, I was luckier when with Claire, who enjoyed Star Wars, but she's not a nerd. But I was in a cinema full of people who loved it, and I think it's, and that was my first experience of it. It's heightened the experience for me, and I think for Steve, he's got a long way to come back. And
no,
Mark was unfortunate that you couldn't have enjoyed it the same way we did.
Like I said, I had nowhere to go but up, so I'm thoroughly pleased, and thank you, Mark, for taking us. I'm pleased we did, and I'm looking forward to not only episode 8 and 9, but episode, you know, the Han one and the Rogue one and all of the bits in between. I think it's set me up nicely now for a bit of Star Wars period in my life.
Oh, yeah,
so I'm on, and I told you this earlier, I am now, I've moved it ahead of, was it A New Hope? I think, see, I like Jedi, so I can't put it ahead of that. I think I'm Empire Jedi 7, 4, oh God.
That really has taken a leap.
3, 1, 2.
That really has leapt up, Steve.
Yes, it has.
I think we need a discussion of why everyone likes Empire so much. Because it's my least favourite of the original ones.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's make that the next podcast. Because we need, yeah, we've done a lot of The Force Awakens stuff, and let's be honest, we're probably not going to top Gloria's interview. So let's shift down a gear on the next episode, and let's just, we'll do some email. So if you want to talk to us about Star Wars, you want to ask us some questions or pitch theories, email us, send stuff over Twitter and Facebook, whatever you need. We'll do a little bit. Oh, leave us reviews and we'll talk about them as well. We'll do a little bit of listener feedback and then we'll jump straight into some Empire Strikes Back talk, shall we?
Yeah, that sounds good. Can I just say, Mark, and thank you to Rob for sponsoring me. I've now done my walk for the rainforest. But if I need help, and as you all need help, because we're all going to suffocate and die. So I need you to sponsor me, and thank you, Rob, for doing so. Justgiving.com/werewalk. Anyone who can give me any money at all would be really appreciated to save rainforest, deforestation and endangered species and all the rest of it. Thoroughly important, and really appreciate any listener sponsoring me, which I was really surprised by and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I saw that. It's spectacular of him, and he's a good guy, Rob. It's he's like the unofficial fourth host of Talk Star Wars.
That's great.
Save the Ewoks, help Steve raise some money. There will be a link, as always, in the show notes of this in the description for this episode.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys, where can we find you this week? I think that's as good a place as any to leave it. Where can people get hold of you this week, Steve? We know they can find you there. You're on Twitter as well.
I am now. I'm Twitterized.
We'll put that link in the.
I have no idea what my name is. Or
it's. I think Steve, it's at Steven_where, but I'll put a link in the description so it's easy for everyone. And Jeremy?
No friends and no people.
I think I'm now Jeremy at Talk Star Wars, aren't I?
You are indeed.
I am. I've adjusted myself.
I've
been adjusted.
If you are on Twitter and you listen to this show and you're thinking, I don't really want to commit and follow them, you can always just go to #TalkStarWars and you'll see everything that's being spoken about by us and by the people that follow the Talk Star Wars Twitter account.
Gloria's quite often doing things for us.
Gloria's in there, yeah. She's active in there. And you should follow Gloria as well. I'm going to put a link in the description to the show to her Twitter account as well. You should hit her up and give her a little bit of love. She was phenomenal. That was a highlight for me.
She was. That we are buzzing. Thank you, Gloria.
Okay, everyone. Follow the @TalkStarWars Twitter and like facebook.com/TalkStarWars. Okay, everyone. We'll catch you on the podcast next time.
Later.
Thank you.
May the thingy be with you.
Thank you. Nee, 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 nee